Brother Dale.
Hey Jim, I'd like for you to talk.
Yeah, I'm sorry, talking right now, wasn't I?
The 19th chapter of Matthew.
Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew chapter 19. What is bothering you in there?
Well, it's not bothering me, but I think from different people that I've talked to, that they believe that there's no grounds for divorce. And the Bible definitely talks that they are grounds for divorce. It talks about right here in the 19th chapter.
Yeah.
I'd like for you to talk about it. There was one verse, as you're going through it, I'll try to find it, but there was one verse that ties into it, and it goes back over into 1 Corinthians, I believe. I'll have to look it back up now.
All right. First of all, I would like to state this. Marriage is one of the most serious things that you can possibly ever do in your life. People do not take it serious enough. And that's one of the problems in the world. They don't even know. They don't even know whether they're in love or not when they get married. They don't. Some of them don't know what love is. They don't know what commitment is in their lives. All they know is that, this is what we're going to do for right now. If it doesn't work out, we're going to do something better later. And that's not the attitude by which to get married. Many people are way too young when they get married. Mm-hmm. It's just youth. They have no idea what being married is and the commitment of marriage. And this, if we would just take care of this one thing and have people to sit down and talk with people before they get married, that's very, very important. That would save a lot of marriages. Probably have a lot less marriages in reality. Because I'll tell you what, if you sit down with someone that lays things out the way it is in marriage and really talks to you from the Bible about marriage, sometimes people get discouraged because they find out they're just not old enough to get married and they may be 25 years old then. As plain as that. But many things in marriage, some of these people just get married because they're in lust with each other. And that's the thing. And lust wears off. It does. It's a short time. All right. In the book of Matthew, we have Jesus teaching on divorce here. Now, this is not the only place that talks about divorce in the Bible. It isn't. Much of our ideas about divorce has been handed over to us from Catholicism. In reality, in the Bible, you will find no ceremony of marriage. A marriage ceremony was simply a man giving his daughter in marriage to some man, literally selling her, in reality, what it was, and them having a nice big feast. And then them two, the two becoming married because they joined each other in bodily, in body. And they were joined to one another that way, and that was marriage in the Bible. I remember a long time ago, Brother Madden, you know how hard he is at times, some of you, he asked his one daughter, he thought a lot of her, and of course her mother wanted her to do one thing and she wanted to do the other thing. She followed Brother Madden, and that's Pat Christian's daughter, or his wife. No, that's Pat's wife. What's her name?
Rita.
And Rita was always, you know, she was always willing to follow God and her life and everything and wanted things to do just like this. And Brother Madden, when she was going to get married to Pat, she says, Rita, what kind of a marriage do you want? You want a biblical marriage or a Catholic wedding? Yeah. So he said, well, what is a biblical marriage? Well, that's where I get up in front of you and I give you to him. And then you go out and afterwards and you're joined in marriage. All right, I give him to you, you're joined in marriage. We have a great big old feast. And we'll go out and get a quarter or a half of a beef and we'll have a big barbecue and plenty to eat, salads and everything. We'll just have a good old time. And she said, man, that's great. And her mom said, no way. No way, you know. And he said, well, that blew that. But she wanted a biblical wedding, and they had a Catholic wedding in reality. But what are weddings? The main thing about weddings today is not the words that are said or anything else. It's that you two are committed in love with each other for life. That's it. That's a commitment. Out in the world, to the lost people, marriage is nothing in reality. You know, it's just nothing because You know, people will go to a preacher and they'll say, hey, I want to get married. We want you to give God's blessing upon us and what we're going to do. But yet they don't want God's blessing because they don't want to be saved. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to do any of those things. Well, God has a lot more in it for you than that. And it's a lot more serious than that, too. I've had so many people come to me like that, and I've turned down a lot of people and asking me to perform marriages. Because I told them it was a very serious thing. Sometimes I think I made a mistake. Maybe I should have counseled with them. You had an opportunity, because sometimes they won't get it well. And they need it. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, verses 3 through 12, it tells us there of marriage. And it says, some Pharisees came to him, testing him, and saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause? You see that word any there? That's what man wants. Any reason in the world. I don't like the way my wife brushes her teeth. She snores. He snores. Don't like this or don't like that. That's no reason. Any reason. Now, remember, when marriage back in, then was for the woman's benefit in the first place, in reality. Because a man had several wives. And when he got tired of the wife, he just cast her aside, threw her out there with nothing. And that's exactly what these Jews had been doing. As a matter of fact, that's about exactly what the men had been doing all over the world. And if they got really tired of them, they just knocked them off. You know, had somebody walk by one day and drop a brick on them while they were sleeping or something, you know. And it was over with. You didn't have to worry with a woman no more or anything else. And until the law of Moses came along, a woman had no rights whatsoever. And you find the laws of divorce and marriage in the Bible, in the Old Testament, this is for the woman's sake. Because God lives and loves women too. He really does. Men, you talk about chauvinists. You women don't know what chauvinist is. You don't. Because way back in this period of time, and if you go over in Iran today, or any of those Muslim countries where Islam is in power, a woman has no rights whatsoever. None. As a matter of fact, she doesn't even have any salvation outside of a man. That's right. As far as the woman's concerned, there's no salvation, even applied to them. But the Bible does. God loves women as much as he does men. To the woman came the Savior into the world, huh? That's how much he thinks of women. Okay? I said, can a man divorce his wife for any cause? And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them all male and female? And then he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, when two people get married, the first thing they have to realize, they're going to have to leave. Daddy is no longer the girl's boss or the mama. And the daddy, the man, mama's no longer his boss, and neither is his daddy. Because you find so many marriages torn to pieces because they run back to their parents every time something happens. Or every time they get accused. Daddy, you did it again! Isn't that right? Now, isn't that right? And the old boy says, you just don't cook like mama did. Well, of course she don't. She hadn't had to practice. You know? Of course she doesn't. She hasn't had to practice. Mama's been practicing on you for a long time, see? Besides that, some people just cook better. You help her if you... There's nothing wrong with you helping her. Is there? Huh? Nothing in the world wrong with helping her cook. You know, we get all this men and women's role mixed up sometimes, don't we? Well, you'd be surprised how much our customs have related to what we believe a man's supposed to do and a woman's supposed to do. They shall leave father, man shall leave his father, mother, shall cleave to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. That's talking about physical union there. That's when they become one flesh. Right there. They shall become one flesh. And then number 6 says, and consequently there are no more two, but one flesh. And then it says, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, what's it talking about here? Huh? Let no man separate what God is going to do.
Not for man to come out of the law, but break what God has already bothered to get.
Go back in history just a little bit now. Now, the marriage license that we have today, this is not sanctioned by God, is it? You know? Now, we're talking about truth. Now, don't go out and just live together. That's not marriage, people. And there's no commitment involved in that. We kind of go along with the laws of the land sometimes, don't we? When they're right and sometimes when they're wrong. The weddings that we have today and the laws that we have to go through started from the Catholic Church. Then come from Baptist churches, because Baptists at one time, and if you have taken Baptist history, I have read to you from John Lawrence von Mosheim's history on the ecclesiastical history of the world and the churches. It says there that the Paulicians did not believe in marriage. They believed in marriage people, but they didn't believe in marriage of the state. No state can tell you when you're married or when you're divorced. That's not it. The state doesn't tell you when you're married or when you're divorced. God does. He does. No law of the land or anything else. Marriage is not a ring. It's not a piece of paper or anything else. There are a lot of people who've been together for years and have never been married. You know that? Not in the Lord. Not if they're going to follow what God wants in the life. They're not married. It says here in verse 7, now he's talking about his rules that he laid down. He's referring back to them. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate and divorce her? All right? Why did Moses tell us that we could get a divorce? Because they're ungodly, this one. As simple as that. That's right. These people made each other's lives miserable. They told them, get a divorce. Do it. You won't go my way, just go your way. You know, that's exactly what he told them to do. But he told the man, you're not going to turn that woman out in the cold. That's what he said. And when you do, now he didn't want them to do it in the first place, but when and if you do, and it usually was when you do it, not if, he said, when you do, you give her a writ of divorce. And not only came for that writ of divorce, she wasn't sold to somebody else. Some other caravan didn't come along going over there to Timbuktu or Egypt or Thailand or India or someplace else and say, hey, you know, I got no woman out here. I'm kind of tired. I'm going to sell her. And sell her into slavery. He couldn't go out and sell her into slavery. She was on equal terms with him. That's what God wanted them to absolutely know. This woman is on equal terms with you. She's not your slave. Men, you hear that? That's right. A woman is not a man's slave. Never has been. Rightly so. I know there are a lot of slaves and female slaves to men that they're married to. But that's not what God has chosen. A woman does run after a man, and God said that will be her duty and job. And she does that naturally, doesn't she? Normally. Some of the women today don't want to. But she's not a slave. And God wants these people to know here that he did not want them to be less a person just because they were a woman. Women, you have equal rights with man in God's eyes. You're not a lesser person. God will not call a woman a priest, will he? Because he does not, that a woman does not meet his specifications for priest. If you see some woman preaching someplace, first of all, she's out of the will of God. So how in the world can she teach the will of God? A woman has her place of service in the economy of God, and that is to teach other women, to teach children, to help keep her home. And it tells you in the Proverbs of Solomon what a good wife does. And by the way, sometimes a wife even has to work. Isn't that right? We get the idea a lot of times, I'll tell you what, in our day and age today, sometimes it's better for a woman not to work because of the problems that she runs into in life. But you're not going to find that from the Bible. I've heard many times preachers preach it. You won't find it from the Word of God, because this is a very modern thing. Our economy and the way we live today is a very modern thing. very modern thing. It doesn't have anything to do, because you'll find out in the, when you go back 17, 1800s, and on back from there, you'll find a woman doing most of the work of the home and making just about half, if not more, of the living. She wasn't out working at some job under a desk. You know, men weren't doing that either. They're out there chopping trees down and plowing ground and clearing land and slopping hogs and branding cattle and whatever it needed to be done. Well, sometimes women, they have to help their husbands in that. And sometimes that's a role that she can play. But her primary job is to keep her family. That is the woman's job. Her primary job is to keep her family. Okay. Then it says, whoever divorces, okay, give her a certificate. Number 8, he said to them, because of the hardness in your heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wife. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. God did not plan it this way. I want you to understand that. God didn't plan for you to get married and get divorced. In verse 9, he says, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another commits adultery. All right? Now, some people love are adultery. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Now, what God wanted people to know, that if your husband or if your wife is an adulteress, you marry a guy that's an adulterer, you marry a woman that's an adulterer, what makes you think that you're good enough to keep them? Huh? What makes you think you're good enough to keep at home? That's what God wanted these people to know here. What makes you think you're good enough to keep them home? And if they're an adulterer, and when you become one flesh, then what do you become? Huh? If you're one flesh, then what are you? An adulterer. As simple as that. That's what it's talking about. People will take this and run rabbits with it too, won't they? And try to teach things that, brethren, just aren't there. When a person becomes married to an adulteress, when she was divorced for adultery, he becomes an adulterer, doesn't he? Because they're one flesh. That's simply what it teaches there. And what makes him think that he's good enough to keep her at home? Would you marry someone that had been married 6 times? Well, think about it. You better think about it for a while. Huh? 6-time loser? Do you think you could do anything that the others haven't? Well, think about it for a while. Do you think you're better than the one before? Or the one before that? That's what he's talking about here. And verse 10, the disciples said to him, if the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it's better not to marry. And he said to them, not all men can accept this statement, only those to whom it's been given. He talks about eunuchs now. We don't practice this today. It's very foreign to our minds and our understanding, but in places in the world today, you know what a eunuch is? That is a man that has himself fixed where he does not desire any woman. All right? And this was common practice at this time. He said there are eunuchs who are born that way. Some people are born that way. You find a man sometimes born in the world never has a desire for women at all. All right? Because something's wrong with him. Okay? Physically. It says they come that way from the mother. There are eunuchs who are made eunuchs by men. There some many times kings would take a man and he would have him made a eunuch and then he would put him to in charge of his harem. And therefore he wouldn't be messing with his wife. Well, some men are made eunuchs by men. And then it says, and there are also eunuchs who make themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And history tells us the Apostle Paul did that. That's very foreign to us today. And that would be thought of as a very weird thing, wouldn't it? But it wasn't weird back when the Bible was written. It had happened. It was very, he practiced very much. If he was able to accept this, let him accept it. That's that. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it. The Bible basically gives 2 basic reasons for divorce. Spiritual incompatibility. All right? Spiritual incompatibility. Can you serve the Lord with the person that you have? Can you really? Can you serve it? Will this person allow you to serve the Lord? Can you live with them? You know? A lot of times I have people come, I can't serve the Lord with this person here. Well, what are they doing to you? Nothing. Well, how come then? How come? This usually boils down, that's just what he wants. Not because it's a necessity. Another is adultery. Adultery. The Bible speaks of that also. But even among two married people, you have to think about that for a while too, because the Bible says if you do not forgive, how can you get forgiven? Then? So adultery is a sin, isn't it? Well, that's just like all of us. We have to forgive one another even for that one. When you boil down to all of these things, you better think very seriously before you get married. That's the time to think about it. Maybe you were out in the world when you got married. You've been married 2 or 3 times. Maybe you were out in the world and you know nothing about God's will. Well, you know something? There's a lot of people out there just like that. But you ought to desire, if you're one of God's children, you ought to desire to know and to want to go His way. That's something you really need to think about. Do it His way. Do it right the first time. Okay? Do it right the first time. Don't make the mistake. Because you can't. You can't. Well, in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, several other places in the Bible it speaks of marriage. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it talks about marriage there. And you can refer to these and study them. If you have a Naves Topical Bible or if you have a concordance, sometimes you can look up marriage or marrying or whatever, and you can find different references in the Bible. Brother Dale, does that, that give you a deal? Many times, and I want to take this across to you, Paul the Apostle was divorced. Paul said that he had a right to have a wife. Didn't he? He sure did. And his wife had divorced him and said he didn't exist anymore. And she did. As far as he was concerned, he didn't exist anymore. He said, I could have a wife just like Peter has. Well, a lot of the Catholics say Peter was never married. Well, he did. He was married. You know, had a wife. The Bible speaks of her several times. And he said, I can have a wife like Cephas or Peter has. Take her with me, only in the Lord. If you get a divorce, don't make the same mistake twice. Go God's way. If you're divorced right now, before you get married again, go God's way. Because Paul said, I have the right to marry where and how? In the Lord. All right? In the Lord. For many years, Baptist churches would not allow anyone to join them that was divorced. And also, they would not allow any preacher, and many of them, even today, will not allow a preacher to preach for them or the pastor who has been divorced. But I'm going to tell you this, that a divorce is a scriptural divorce. It is a scriptural as it can be. It is. A scriptural divorce is just as scriptural as it can be. And many times I've said in marriage, as we see it today, much of what it says and what the laws and the ideas of it have come down from Catholicism, not from the Word of God. You go to South America today, and you go to the Philippine Islands and places where Catholicism is in strong rule, and you'll find a lot of people living together because they're afraid to get married and get a divorce. And it's very common practice. You'll find Catholics going and getting married by a Protestant preacher someplace, and then 10 years later getting married in the Catholic Church. Because they don't want to get, you know, marriage to them, Catholicism, a marriage to Catholicism is not a marriage until it's performed by a Catholic priest. And they'll go out and get married by a Protestant, and then 10 years later, if they think it's going to work out, then they'll get married because they know and they teach that if you get divorced, then you have no inheritance in heaven. You cannot be saved. Salvation and divorce, that's nothing to do with each other. That's not. Brother Ray.
There was a thing in a paper about this two couple wanted to get married, and the man was paralyzed from the waist down.
Yes.
And they went to the priest, and they said they couldn't get married because he couldn't perform his manly duties. But it was a right if she was paralyzed and he was walking. Where did it get off of this president? They have authority to decide who's to marry and who's not to marry.
That's where it all comes from in the first place, brother. See? That's where it all comes from in the first place. They can say who's going to get married, they can say whatever they want. But brethren, it's between you and God. Mm-hmm. Not between you and man. Remember that. There's other things we just go along with. Definitely. If you're going to get married, go out and get a marriage license and all of that. I'm not promoting not doing that. Do it. Why? For the sake of your witness. That's why. But I'll tell you something. As far as God's concerned, if you're married, you're married. If you're not, you're not. A piece of paper doesn't do it. And divorce is in the eyes of God, not in man, not when some court figures out. Not when they declare it would be final, whatever it is. It's God. That's legality. All right, we're talking about the Word of God. All right. Any other questions? Do you have some other questions? How about you new converts? Do you have some that are just brimming over in your mind?